So let's go on to Howard Storm. And we're going to do part three today, which is actually moving into the second section on the page neardeath.com, Storm, Rescue from Hell by Jesus Christ. Again, there are five, there are seven, well, there are seven sections on this page. Six of which are his experiences, NDE. We're moving into second. First one was Invitation to Hell from Strange Beings. You can see there are different, if you read different accounts of his experience, some reviewers say, evil creatures. I've heard him say that he felt that they were human or people. It's not clear if they were all humans or people who died, but surely their consciousness is associated with the human state of anger and sadism and the enjoyment of causing pain to others, which is not necessarily a high level of the negative path, because at the higher level, they don't get joy, they don't have much relish. They just do what's right for them, which is, world conquest. And you kill whoever you kill, and you trick whenever you trick, and lying is normal, is a daily affair, and strategizing and all of that. So these were not highly advanced negatives. But their consciousness was resonant with his, as he had been many years in his life before this experience. So where we left off last time is that he basically had finished the phase of riotous struggle with these abusive beings, and he began to he had the thought in mind was given to him or brought to him, pray to God. And that thought came three times, and at the third time he finally started praying in whatever way he could. He found that it was repellent to those beings, and I explained that as related to the resonance with the resonance of those words in the mind of those beings associating with open heart and self-love, or love, or goodness, or virtue, which brought up for them the massive pain they carry. And so entities that are real cruel and sadistic people who are really involved in that heavily have a massive backlog of pain that they're unwilling to face, mediated by sorrow and grief that they also don't want to face. And religiosity, even the words, may be hateful for them. And that's what we find, with certain people who are full of hate. There really are a lot of angry people these days, more than ever before, it seems, or at least they're more vociferous online and in the culture, in news events. It seems a lot of people are full of anger. And their main contribution to the world is fighting with each other, physically or mentally. And the result of that is, you end up going to a dark place after death. That's Metaphysics 101. So the last paragraph of the section one, he says, lying there for a long time, I was in such a state of hopelessness and blackness and despair that I had no way of measuring how long it was. It was a kind of, eternity feeling. I was just lying there in an unknown place, all torn and ripped. And again, this is a kind of concentrated karmic return related to how he had been tyrannical in a certain way, not physically violent, but moderately tyrannical in dialogue, in interaction with others in the time before the NDE. And, others had probably felt torn and ripped by him in the way he spoke to them before. And he said, I had no strength. It was all gone. It seemed as if I were sort of fading out, that any effort on my part would expend the last energy I had. My conscious sense was that I was perishing or just sinking into the darkness. This is not the darkness of hell realm, which he rejected. And because of his own virtue, he was qualified to not be carried there. You know, as I said before, those who are really holding profound karmic liability don't get a choice whether they go to hell or not. They just appear there. They die and appear in that state of woe. There's no question of follow us or being tricked to go there. There's no issue of stopping and not being able to go. They appear there instantaneously or quickly after death, and that's that. And they don't stay forever, but there is no choice. So you see, he had a choice, and as I said, he could choose to go with them or not, and he could choose when to start fighting and when to stop fighting. And when he stopped and started praying, they left. And that's a sign of his intrinsic virtue, that not only did they leave, but that he wasn't taken away. There are many souls on earth, human, who die and don't have that opportunity to simply be in that isolated position, but they go straight into a hell collect a more collective domain of hell. And there they remain for a while. So he goes on now, section two, a rescue from hell by Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't know if I was even in the world, but I did know that I was here. I was real. All my senses worked too painfully well. And so that's the thing. The person who dies or goes out of body consciously, it's the same. Experiences their astral form with their senses quite intact, with their awareness quite intact. In fact, you know, a great being just steps out of the body or just cuts the cord, and it's not much different than when they were in the body, except the body is finished and starts to fall away. And so it's not like death is some kind of void or some kind of numbness, eternal nothingness, or eternal non-being. That's not the case at all. And so, again, one of the great values of his account is how clear he reports it. And as I've said many times, his account is metaphysically sound. And metaphysically profound and important, because there are many, many principles that are embedded in his simple, honest accounting, his report. And so his senses are working fine. He's not foggy, and that's because he's vomited out the phase of struggle and the karmic return of cruelty and sadistic tendencies. So, I don't know how I arrived here. There was no direction to follow, even if I had been physically able to move. So this is, you know, directionlessness, spiritual non-orientation. And interestingly, he says the agony that I had suffered during the day, meaning, you know, it's not, there's really no day or night, but he means earlier. Actually, during the day, he may mean during the time on his physical body when he had a, I think he had a perforated duodenum. His stomach section was perforated, and the acids were burning into his viscera. How's that for karma? So it was nothing to what he was feeling now, because this was, he had the sense of a totality of desperation. No, it's really utterly spiritually devastated. The absolute end of my existence, more horrible than anything I could possibly imagine, and more horrible than being attacked, because here he's all alone. And he's all alone in a ripped up state in another domain that he has no understanding of whatsoever, because he spent his life as a proud atheist who think they know the score and completely unprepared for death. Then he says, then a most unusual thing happened, and he heard very clearly the little song that he heard in nursery school called Jesus Loves Me, Yes I Know. And so it's only in a it's only when you hit bottom that you can truly gain momentum on ascension. Ascension begins in earnest only after hitting bottom. And only after a full cycle of karmic retribution, karmic return, is the person clear of the need to experience that. The mind is quiet. It may be deeply despairing, but some portion of distraction or lack, it's a kind of flurry, restlessness that is even deeper than the fighting phase he went through. Some kind of agitation is finished. And what arises is a heart knowing or a heart activation, which in this case was the memory of singing in Sunday school, a very pure mind feeling of being loved by of a higher benevolent power, and how sweet that is. Being loved by a higher power is just normal. That's just the way the universe is. God is forgiving. Jesus, angels, higher self are in, they live in profound, absolute forgiveness. So they don't need to, learn how to do that. We just need to learn how to accept that. The reality of accepting it is the capacity to do that for ourselves, of course. To be able to accept higher benevolent love requires us to be able to accept love, which means to love ourselves, to experience love. So to accept love is to experience love, and therefore it is to love. So to be receptive to love is loving, because it's resonance. So to receive love, one must be loving. To receive blessing, heart must be open. Sorry, there is a noise behind me now. So, interestingly, soon after he hears that song in his mind, and he keeps repeating, he wanted that. He said, I don't know why, but all of a sudden I wanted to believe that. Not having anything left, I wanted to cling to that thought, and I inside screamed, Jesus, please save me. That's the only spirituality he knew at that time. And because of the intensity of his calling and sincerity of pure need, pure desire, then he said, that thought was screamed with every ounce of strength and feeling left in me. When I did that, I saw, right after he did that, he saw off in the darkness the tiniest little star. And he actually thought there was a comet or a meteor. And this sequence is very important, because you see, first there is a kind of required karmic return. He didn't have to go with these beings into the hallway He didn't have to go with these beings, those beings in the hallway to the dark realm. He didn't have to start fighting with them. He didn't have to stop fighting with them. They didn't have to leave, but they did. All these things are related to his spiritual development and metaphysical, a certain kind of parameters of free will and karma, the interplay between what is karmically limited and where free will may be exercised. In a sense, he had to go through the hell experience. Again, it was really a peripheral hell. It wasn't the deep pit of hell, but it was peripheral to hell. He had to, he knows he deserved it. And the deserving is basically because he had dished out a hell to others. Just a second. And so, even though he could have not gone with them, the force of karma has a certain kind of unavoidability to it. And there is free will, and that free will is itself bounded by karma, meaning the capacity to freely choose is itself not 360 degree free. It's limited. Our capacity for free will is limited by our karmic carry through, carry over. And so there's the sense, you know, there's like the criminal who revisits the site of the crime. And there's the liar who at some level wants to brag. And there's the guilty person who at some level doesn't want to keep the secret. This is the kind of karmic force associated with the need to hit bottom, with the need to release, with the need to clear what I'm carrying, to drop what I'm carrying, which can only be done through suffering and pain or conflict or something that's unpleasant. But the only way to get over there is to go through it. The only way to be free of it is to die in it and then be reborn as it disappears, as it goes away. So this bounding, not binding, but a sort of delimiting of free will by the force of karma is a very subtle matter. And so we can talk about it more some other time, but it's very real. And so yes, we have free will, and that free will has boundaries based on our karma, which sets parameters in mind as what as to what we can conceive of, and our perception of freedom, and our perception of choice, or our ability to choose. There was some sense in him that he had no other choice. As I said, he was either going to go to hell or become a ghost. So, those were really the options. Anyway, when he finally hits bottom and finally calls with profound, sincere need for salvation, for positive, higher intervention, then the tiniest little star appears in the distance. And so it comes to him rapidly, very bright. Its radiance spilled over, and he rose up without effort. He just lifted up. So blockage is associated with down. Freedom is associated with up. Spirit is associated with light, and rejection of love is associated with dark. So black is associated with the absence of love, and light is associated with fullness of love, because love is light. Love light, right? The origin of light is the action of free will upon love. And in its nature, Therefore, light is love. The love of the infinite creator manifests by the infinite light. So, light, love, fifth chakra, fourth chakra, wisdom, love, right? Wisdom, compassion. These are really two ways of, two aspects of the one substance of the octave. The octave meaning seven dimensional systems. So he just lifted up and he sees, interestingly, all his wounds, tears, brokenness just melt away. And then he said, I became whole in this radiance. And then he started crying uncontrollably. And at one point in one other interview, he said that his experience of being healed, just a second, his experience of being healed was similar to watching dust form and then just sort of dissolve off his body. Just a second, okay? Hold on. So let's this is very delicate material, so let's leave it for here, the talk for here. So I don't want to get into something that's very delicate with that kind of noise going on here. So okay. So any comments? We can talk about what I just read. And any comments on that? So our timing today is a little off. Well, you know, the principle here is that the higher beings do love us, and they really do want to help us. And they feel pain when we feel pain. They feel more than that, and they know that it's not their pain, or at least they didn't make it. They're in sympathy. But the approach of light is an approach of love, and those powers really are always here with us. So, I mean, I've been reading this material, you know, for a couple of weeks more deeply and found, you know, a much more centered appreciation of us, of the purpose of human life being development of virtue and service to all and obviously self-development. No, but there's the wisdom approach and there's the love approach, or there's wisdom and love. I mean, I studied wisdom from a young age, middle of high school, reading Buddhism and Taoism and I Ching. But that's not the same thing as heart purification. And heart purification is much more difficult because it's purifying our pain. It's actually healing. So development of love and service, love and compassion requires walking through the pain of our old wounding. There's no other way. And, you know, we can, I mean, I may have a lot of wisdom or can resonate and articulate wisdom or some pretty useful comprehension of soul evolution and cosmic plan, but that's not the same as heart purification. It's a portion of it, but it's not the same as healing personal wounding or old pain. That's the much greater work, and that's the first portion of the after-death portion, after-death phase, is healing. And that's why, you know, Ra's teaching to become healers was heal yourself. Here are the way. Here are the ways. So, yeah, the key is to feel love. You see, you know, what's powerful in what was effective in Howard Storm's rescue was actually his own heart turn to love, his own heart opening. Everything that was done for him, he could have done for himself, but he couldn't have. Potentially, anyone can, but he couldn't, and you know, we're still learning too. But I've thought about this a lot. Why is it that people do gain healing, self-healing, by reflection on the truth that God loves you, God loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus, please save me. It's in some ways a resonance with the reality of higher benevolent power, higher love power. Right? The action of free will upon love is infinite will on infinite love, producing infinite light, which leads to greater healing. And it's not that why is the teaching God loves you so transformative for some people? Why is love transformative? Because of the resonance, because it's our resonance with that infinite love and feeling that, knowing that, not just stating it in mind or word, but feeling it in body, feeling it in heart. That is a resonance that opens heart, that is open heart, that inevitably leads to the release of old blockage. And that's why he said, he just was crying uncontrollably. All my wounds, all my tears, all my brokenness melted away. On the body, he could see that. That was the outer manifestation of chakra blockages unblocking, or old patterns of rejection, old greed, but particularly old rejection of love, of tenderness. So the angry skeptic, or the argumentative troll, or the person who just likes to fight, is actively rejecting tenderness and knows nothing of it. And that's a defense against experiencing uncontrolled grief, the uncontrollable nature of truly opening to their grief and sorrow. And this is what happens. But he basically says, while he was crying, because he was feeling things he had never felt before in his life, which was basically tenderness to himself, a real tender heart. Another thing happened, which is suddenly he knew a bunch of things. I knew things. And so knowing is opened by loving. That's fourth, fifth chakra relation, right? The more you can accept, the more you will know. The more you can understand, the more you will comprehend. Or comprehension first is based on willingness to accept reality. The reality of his pain, the reality of higher benevolent power, the reality that the universe does love you, or the universe is of infinite love, and we're included, and we can resonate that. We can vibrate that. And so then he knew that the radiance knew him, it knew me better than my mother or father did. It embraced him, the entity, luminous entity that embraced me, knew me intimately, and began to communicate a tremendous sense of knowledge. I knew that he knew everything about me, and I was being unconditionally loved and accepted, despite the knowing of how bad he was, his actions, his word, not his essence. And so then there's the difference between essence and behavior, or essence and a manifestation, appearance and the underlying reality, what we do versus what we are. And so he had said in another interview the idea, love the sinner, hate the saint, the sin. Love the sinner, hate the sin. You don't need to hate the sin, but we can surely blame the sin and love the sinner, which just means love the being, and call out the wrong action or the harmful action or the negative activity. But that is, and that's the difference between discernment and blame, or discernment and judgment, you know. We can discern or and take responsibility for harmful actions, but that is not a condemnation of our being. It's a condemnation of our decision, of our activity, of our manifestation. What we manifest, what we choose, not what we are. And that's a very big, big difference. And he's a very smart man, and so he understood a lot of these things upon reflection in the years since this. So, next time we'll carry on and finish this section two, which is basically the section of moving from despair and hopelessness to a true vision of creation and divine plan and the nature of the creator, and preparing him to this and the healing necessary to prepare himself for life review. He needed to prepare for life review, and that's healing. And some part of that healing is personal, and some part of that healing, which is still personal, I guess, involves a seeing of greater reality. Just, you know, the truth shall set you free means that to some extent, simply seeing reality leads to transformation. The capacity to see, which is fourth chakra on the face, right? The eyes being a 5.4, or the representative of the heart chakra on the face, personality face, the face of the personality in the head. Seeing truth is accepting truth. Seeing clearly is accepting truth. Accepting truth then naturally comes to understanding, comprehension, wisdom, knowing. And some part of that knowing is the macrocosm, the creation as it is. And that was the second portion of what he was shown through the in the phase of rescue, which is healing. And that then prepared him for the further healing, we can say, of life review. So the first, you know, healing, life review, and preparation for return, as normal three phases after death, we can even say that the life review is advanced healing. And the healing phase before life review is preparatory life review, is preparation for that. And the establishment in mind and energetics of the readiness to take responsibility for the life we've lived and how we have affected every single person in our life in every single major way, how we have affected them and how they were left by us. How did we leave these people? After their encounter, interaction with us, how were they? Were they uplifted or were they down pressed? And that's a very big deal. You know, the greater the sinner, the greater the saint. So I could certainly see in myself having hurt a number of people very much, not deliberately, but by ignorance and selfishness. And that's a heavy thing, you know? And the more we can see that now, the better. Meaning, the closer to the light we'll go. Because when we finish this section, we'll see that the position where he stopped in the movement to the source light, he was basically moving towards a kind of galactic center, a great center of brilliance, an enormously bright concentration. He's approaching that, and at one point he said, I can't go on or stop, or I shouldn't be here, or put me back. When he said that, that represented the limit to his capacity for self-love and the limit of his self-forgiveness and the point of exposure to love light that was the limit of his ability at that time. And that's where the healing then, or the life review occurred, at that position of distance from the source of white light. And in the Tibetan teachings of Bardo Tudl is the teachings on the Bardo, Bardo, which is basically the intermediate state, which is the after-death realm, but it's a certain way of depicting it. The teaching is to go into the white light, or go close to the white light, because that's your true nature, which is true, right? Our true nature is the source of white light, the source of love light. But where we can't take it anymore, that's where we had to do the life review, and that's where that actually determines or relates to the next incarnation or the next form of manifestation after the life review. So, thanks for your understanding, and we'll pick up next week again. And have a good evening, have a good day, and see you all next week again. Okay, take good care. Bye for now.